People travel to our area from all over the world to enjoy everything from contemporary bands to classical ballet, so it probably won't come as a big surprise that a new national study finds more than 1,000 arts-related nonprofits call our region home. That puts us fourth in the nation, ahead of both San Francisco and Minneapolis. Sue Colleton has spent years working with arts and culture groups, first at the National Endowment for the Arts, more recently at the Seattle-based Paul G. Allen Family Foundation. Colleton's the perfect person to put studies like this one in context.
My immediate response to that particular study was, oh, that's an interesting data point, because that's what it is. It's a data point. There are 1,000-some arts organizations in Seattle, according to their count. But, you know, studies all use different methodologies. They use different data sets. So to really understand how strong is the Seattle art community, I think you've got to look at a range of studies. And there are two places where I look. One of them is the National Center for Arts Research at SMU, and they did an Arts Vitality Index, you may be aware of this, last December. And that index looked at the supply of arts in a community, specifically the number of artists, the number of arts organizations, the number of arts employees. It looked at the demand for the arts, as indicated through contributions to the arts and earned revenue to the arts, and it looked at public support. So what kind of funding was provided by city, county, state, and what kind of policies were put in place to support the arts. So based on that study, Seattle ranked number 8. And I thought that was really impressive. It was ahead of L.A. and Chicago, below New York, not surprising. And if you look at the fine detail of that study, you see that Seattle ranked very high for the amount of earned revenue that our arts organizations make.
And let's just define that term for listeners who might not be in with the lingo.
Earned revenue is what they make through ticket sales, through admission, through memberships. It's transactional income.
So what's that saying is that a lot of people here participate in arts events,
right? That's exactly right. That's what it tells us, that that the organizations, one, are entrepreneurial in figuring out how to generate earned revenue, and second, that there's demand, that people care, that people participate, the audiences do.
What I'm hearing is that we do indeed have a lot of arts organizations and participation in our wide community.
I think that's correct. And if you look at Americans for the Arts Creative Industry Study, you'll see that of all the cities that they've tested, and Seattle ranks the 21st in population, Seattle ranks number 1 in the number of arts businesses per capita. So that tells you about the density of creative professionals here.
Sue Colleton, once upon a time, there was a guy named Richard Florida, and he wrote a book called The Creative Class. He traveled around talking about this theory he had, and that theory was that if you have a certain saturation of creative organizations, nonprofit arts organizations, you were going to attract a certain number of businesses that were looking for people who were creative. And the correlation that he made here was the tech and biotech industries, that we had a very creative industrial core, and hence there was that synergy between the two. It sure sounds good. And when you look at Seattle, it makes sense.
I think there's a lot of debate going on around that theory. However, I do believe that the rich concentration of creative professionals in this town has driven demand for the arts organizations and has enabled them to generate good earned revenue ratios. They have disposable income. They're educated. They're curious. They're knowledgeable.
But let's walk back 2 steps then. Why have we generated so many arts and culture nonprofits in this city that is not in the top 10 size-wise?
Well, I think that arts organizations by nature are entrepreneurial. And I think that it's part of our DNA. When you look at the success of many of our organizations right now, they're being successful because they're rethinking their programming models, they're rethinking their business models, they're rethinking how they're attracting audiences. Many of organizations in Seattle are getting national attention because of this work, and they're able to do that because, I think, of the DNA.
Of the city.
Of the city.
I'm speaking with longtime arts and cultural observer, administrator, philanthropist, program manager Sue Colleton. We are the fastest growing city in the country, according to a lot of people. What specific connections are there between rising population and density of arts organizations? Are artists moving here, or is there some other kind of connection?
I think when you look at number of artists, we are In the SMU study, we're 66th ranked on the 700 cities that they looked at. So while we were 8th ranked for the vitality of our art community, if you look at Americans for the Arts, you'll see that we have above average audience participation. More people than the national average attend theater, they attend museums. I think something like 31% of the population gives either to public broadcasting or the arts, and the national average is 19%.
So before you came to Seattle, you had this national vantage point. You worked at the National Endowment for the Arts. And, you know, we are geographically somewhat isolated, even in this global world. So I'm not sure that anybody really has a sense of how what is happening here compares, not numerically, but sort of vitality-wise, to cities of comparable size. And I'm thinking of, you know, the Minneapolises or the Austin, Texases, or the places that we think of as our sort of zeitgeist equals.
Well, I think that's one of the values of these studies, right? I mean, they don't tell us the whole picture, but what they do is give us some comparisons.
In the aftermath of the Great Recession in particular, it seems that the nonprofit arts world is constantly just treading water or trying to figure out, you know, what's our life jacket so that we can stay on the surface. Is that ever going to change, or is that just how it is?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. You know, we can look at these great attributes that we have: agility, incredible quality. We're really nimble. We have large numbers of creative professionals. But if you interview a executive director of a mid-sized arts organization, they're going to talk to you about the challenges of making payroll, the fact they don't have a financial cushion to do risky work, the fact that they can't hire highly skilled marketing communications people because they're paying below market. You know, these challenges are real. And I think it's important for us to be mindful of, even though we've got these great things going for us, that the value that these arts organizations provide to us and to this community is not yet matched by the amount of private and public support that they receive.
Sue Colleton's a Seattle-based arts consultant. She worked to fund regional arts groups with the Paul G. Allen Family Foundation and nationwide with the National Endowment for the Arts.